get. You know, the best thing about deadlines and listening to certain things like that is that most of us just listen to them about a half an hour ahead of time when it was an hour-long CD. So I know that because I do it myself all the time. Well, welcome, and bless your heart for being here today. We had a great week. We had some really good stuff, and we're going to be sharing some things both here and through the Texas group about what happened in their event, what happened in our events up here, across the board, across the border on where we go from here. So, welcome to all of you tonight. We'll come in from many different areas and arenas, and looking at, and I know I've talked to people in California, and certainly we've got some people back in Minneapolis. If you've got Wolfgang playing now, go ahead and hit mute on your phone, or if you don't have a mute, just hit star 6. If I call your name, you'll have to do the same thing. Because I can hear you in the background. Very good. It worked. Okay, Dave and Rhonda, are you here? We're here. Very good. Marion.
Yes.
Eric.
Yeah, I'm here, Jerry.
Hi, Eric.
Hello. Welcome, LaVon. And,
I'm here, Jerry.
So nice to hear from you.
Well,
what
thank
you,
you
do? Go ahead.
I was saying thank you for inviting me. I'm happy to be here.
Ah, very good. And Lily.
Yes.
How are you doing
right
up
here.
There? All right. Terrific. Mike and Teresa, are you on audio this time around?
One of us is there. The other one beating her face for the moment. She'll be right back.
Ah, very good. And we'll be picking up a number of other people as we go along here, but it's great to have you. Tonight I want to orient you to a few things. We had an HBM training in Chicago. Had a couple of our people attend that, and he was trying to get all of them to be on tonight, but guess what? It's late for them.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Texas Summit, and this was the Pathfinder Summit that came off this last weekend, and that was a big bunch of names and faces and stuff going on down there. And we had our events up in Spokane. The first one was a wellness preview with Susan Chesky, who is really Nikan skincare expert. And in it, she does a tremendous job of closing, getting to the point that she's trying to make. We're going to be reviewing a little bit Susan's presentations, what we may gain from them and what we want to take to the field. We'll be looking at the second day was pulling the women together up at our house. We had about 30 here for that, and they did what women do best, which was to socialize and to kind of gather some quality time together. And so we want to get a little perspective on that. And then on Saturday morning, we had the world-famous Teresa Budvarson. Mike, you can give her the heads up that somebody was actually asking or was kicking themselves for not having had something to record her presentation with.
It was excellent.
So with all that, we must have her in. And, of course, you can give yourself a couple of pats on the back for having created the media for her and crawled around and stuck the microphone in front of the speaker. That was nice. That was a nice touch.
Yeah, he's a good right-hand man.
Awesome. So, Teresa, you've been involved in ECAN for a bit here now, and now finally moving up and taking the stage. What does it feel like to do that for somebody who is kind of natural to it?
Well, it feels great, and every time you do that, you learn a lot more yourself, and it just, there's so much information about these products and what Mekin has to offer us that it's really exciting, and I hope I get to do it some more.
Can you imagine that as you're building your Mekin career,
if you can appoint people to do those kinds of presentations, what are some of the things that, as an upline, you're providing your downline with? If your downline, let's say you've asked Carol, your downline, to do a presentation on a specific subject, what does Carol get out of it?
You know, the people that are doing it get, I would say, probably 100 times more benefit out of the presentation, because you go through that process of putting it together and finding the information and learning and doing your homework, and then that just makes it better. When you're out talking to people, you've got information that you're really clear about.
Very good. Now, one of the reasons that we come together on this call on Monday nights is to start thinking with the end in mind. And we're going to be doing a little bit of discussion about the end in mind, but I've already just lifted it up a notch on the first part of this call by saying, what about the people you bring in? What are we going to provide for them, and how do we help to nurture and grow them? And I think for many of you who are new, that are signing up those new people, like, for example, Lily, you're an educator, and
yep.
You would be an absolute natural to jump up in front of a group and do a presentation. And that would be fulfilling in many different ways. Have they asked you up there to do that?
Definitely, yes.
And do you like that?
Yes, I do.
What percentage of people don't, according to the national survey?
I don't know.
99%?
What's that?
99%?
Hi, Steve. It's right around 95%. As I look at some of the names that are popping up on this call, I can see some people automatically. In fact, many of you on this call are the type of people that would love to take on the challenge, right?
Took 11 years.
But if we ask you in the right category, something that you're well familiar with, it makes it much easier, right, Steve?
Yep.
So that if we were to ask Steve how to do what he did so amazingly for us, and that was to put up a version of Wolfgang on the Internet, and several of you are listening to that, Steve, would you feel more comfortable talking about that or developing a platinum in front of a group of 5,000 people?
Because I've done it, it would be the computer stuff.
Uh-huh.
But I'm getting close.
All right. Way to go. Okay, let's get some personal perspectives then. And then when that gives us a couple minutes to get some more people on the line here and get some people screwed in and down tight. And then we'll break into some of our scheduled events. So at first, Dave and Rhonda, were there any things that you picked up from the weekend's event that were ahas or helpful or moving forward for you?
We actually went to set up a couple of booths at a trade show and presented Neekin there, and we did not make it to the weekend events.
Well, then that would be great, because it's giving us a broader experience base. What were some of the things that you picked up from the trade show, your perspectives, and what you might be able to bring to the group?
I don't know. The perspective was from the first time doing that and not getting anybody to this time and being more open and talking to people, going out to the crowd and talking to them. The first time not getting any numbers, this time we got 7 cards and email addresses numbers. And I don't know, it was not very well attended, but we got quite a few numbers.
What was the venue?
It was a arts and crafts and vendors.
Where was it?
It was in Post Falls at a local church there, and we just decided to give it a try and see what we could come up with.
Was there a cost to it?
$10.
For the booth?
For the booth.
Right. So it was only $10 for the booth?
Well, only $10 for the booth, and we were there from 9 till, I believe, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock.
Okay. And here's a big question for you from the perspective of now looking to the next generation and as an upline. What could somebody from your group gain from doing one of those?
Well, they would gain quite a bit. One being to getting in front of people and talking to them and learning how to present Neekin to them, and also assessing people, figuring out where they're from, listening to them, and seeing and catching their needs.
Terrific. Now, did you have any of them that started to respond to your questions about finances as opposed to, or life freedom as opposed to products, or were you predominantly product oriented?
It was. When they come and look at the products, it becomes predominantly product-oriented, but we had a couple of people that were interested in the business, but it was predominantly looking at products.
Can anybody think of a way to put together a booth that would cause people to think more about stopping by the booth to look at a career opportunity or an investment opportunity as opposed to products?
How about the corner office type pictures up on the edges or around the displays, that kind of thing?
Wording.
Now, let me go back to corner office, Steve. Just so that you mean some of the pictures and stuff that Neekin's got of a guy sitting in a corner office and
by the pool and that kind of thing.
Okay. So where would the person go to gather that? Those photos
on the Neekin library.
So for those of you who are hanging around, let's just might as well, since we have the technology, go there. And if you come to your home page and we go to business tools, you go down to library, and in the library you can find all kinds of stuff. Oh wait, I better get you guys to that point. I just minimized you. Sorry. I was trying to be fancy. I'll be a second, and I'll have you all where you can view this.
You're not even logged into the call yet, are you?
I'm on the top. Okay, you all see the online library or online form for the library? Not seeing that?
I don't see you on the call. Of course, maybe I'm.
Oh yeah, here it is.
Just came up.
It just came up.
Okay, I'm going to show you what I found out. You notice how I dropped down the menu for business tools down near the bottom, and there's some really interesting things in here. Here's your library. We click on library, and this is what comes up.
Oh, no.
Is everybody seeing that?
Yeah, I am.
Yes.
My is very slow.
Well, some people probably are using dial-up.
Can you hear me, Jerry?
Hear you, yes, I can hear you clearly.
Okay.
All right, so that, can everybody see library now?
Yeah.
Can you all see about a 2x4 inch box in the right-hand corner that's obscuring things?
A what?
Did it just go away? A box in the right-hand corner on the bottom that's about, takes up almost a quarter of the screen. Do you see that?
The advertising compliance?
Oh, I'm going to go back to it. What I keep doing is, you all see a small toolbar down at the bottom here, right?
Correct.
And
okay.
If I do this, does a big box jump up above it on your screen?
No.
Oh, cool. Because what I'm doing there, if y'all ever leaders on calls here, I want you to do something weird. Go to that toolbar at the bottom, and you'll see one of the, on the far left, you'll see a blue and, I don't know, it's probably orange, I'm colorblind. See that ball?
Yep.
next to it, there's a book that's opening. And next to it, it looks like three people or birthday candles or something.
Yep.
Everybody click on the birthday candles. If you ever wonder who's on, you can do that while we're not on the main page. Do you all notice that?
I can't get to the bottom of it. It won't scroll up.
Oh, okay. Don't worry about it too much. This is sort of an advanced technique for some of the nerds on the call. I want you to go to the upper right-hand corner of the box that you just pulled up. If, in fact, you're able to do that, just go ahead and click on the minus and minimize it. But that's just, playing around there. So, Steve, there should be, if you have that box up that shows all the participants, if that's true, say yes, okay? Now, in the upper right-hand corner, there's a minus. If you click on that, it'll minimize it and take it back down into the toolbar.
Great.
Got it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, Steve, we've got the online library forum here now. Can you see which category or heading would lead them to those pictures that they could run off for running booth?
My guess is the lifestyle promotion posters.
So we'll go to that. And let's go to the surfer, because surfers obviously would be a cool thing to have.
And you can see the size is a 24 by 36, so that Kinko's could make a pretty nice thing out of that.
So what you would do is either go to Kinko's and run this off on their computer, or you could take in a disk with a copy and
or a thumbnail.
Or your little
thumb drive.
There's your board meeting. How do you like that?
Oh, good.
So these are different things that you can reproduce now with all this modern.
Cool.
All right. So now let me go back out of that.
I want to have more board meetings like that.
Yeah. They have some really cool little settings. The corner office was the one that Steve was talking about. So check those out. They're pretty neat. Well, let's just look at the corner office.
Now, this is the one for Jerry, since he's the swimmer. And Russell.
There you go. So we can take the same booth and run these kinds of pictures, and we put across an entirely different message. Isn't this amazing what we can do with technology?
That is awesome. I wonder if Marcia made it on the call to see that.
Well, let me look.
The expo's up there.
Yeah.
I'm actually recording the WebEx of this so I can throw it on the web.
Okay. Well, let me ask this. Lily?
Yes?
Even with your computer being slow to respond there, were you able to see those photos?
I can see board meeting.
Okay. The other will come up a little bit later. Are you on a dial-up? Or are you on high speed?
You told me I have high speed, but I have no idea.
Okay. It may be just your computer's slow. So we'll try to keep a little bit of lag time going here so that we don't go too fast and lose you in the dust. All right, well, welcome to everybody here. I've got lots of people with lots of life experiences over this last week, and I want to have them give you a perspective. And then we want to get into a discussion about Wolfgang and what are we going to do with that, and what are we going to do scheduling-wise, what's coming up in the future. How do you bring your people in, like Mary Joe, who's brand new? We want to try to get those perspectives on what do we need and how do we orient people and what do we get started with. So lots to cover. So first thing I'm going to do is just kind of go down through the list here and find out, Eric, if you're available.
I'm here.
Did your ladies have a comment on ladies' night at all?
Yeah, I talked to them a little bit about it when they got back. Diana's not here right now. She's at the gym getting her workout in. But they really enjoyed it and thought it was really interesting, some of the stuff that Susan Jeske was talking about. You know, Alicia came home and showed her siblings the pose for standing when getting a picture taken. I thought that was kind of cute. But now Diana's got the little card I guess Susan gave to everybody that she took with her all around the house, was looking at all the shampoos and conditioners and stuff, and went to the store and bought all the right stuff. So, yeah, so now we're, you know, not just, you know, using healthier products and stuff. So
that was a different marketing strategy than you and I would have thought of, right?
Yeah.
Well, interestingly enough, after Susan Jeske left, I think our autoship volumes are about $4,000.
What's that?
Our team, my group's team autoship went up about $4,000 after she left. So there's a lot of people who are having changes in the cabinets in their house.
I could believe that.
Gina, you had a really sort of an amazing day and last couple of days. What are some things that you'd like to, some ahas you could kind of dust off and say happened this week?
Well, Keith Barker called me with a new distributor today, so that was wonderful for him. Let's see. I'm not sure what you're looking for. I'm excited about the couple that we signed up Friday for Mary Jo and Bill, and you know, I just love the way this business works, because when you have to fit it into the nooks and crannies of your life, sometimes that's just the way it works the best. And, you know, we were literally driving while we took an application and an order over the phone. So I just want everybody to know that you don't have to be present eyeball to eyeball with people to sign them up in this business. And that's one of the things that makes this so duplicatable. But we're excited to work with them and excited for Bill and Mary Jo. And
can you fill in Mary Jo a little bit about what we covered, and then we'll just listen vicariously from the outside, because we've got people here that will be starting up new folks, and I want to put this to a schematic so it makes more sense, and I'll be working on that while you're talking and then put it up to the team. But what were some of the things that you expected that we would do in this? We probably had 45 minutes to work with them. They wanted to stay for quite a bit longer. Did we meet some of those objectives? Where are we in the process? Just kind of filling Mary Jo in so she knows what's going on.
Oh, yeah. I think we were able to open their minds a little bit more to see a bigger picture of NECAN, and that this isn't, this is not your everyday network marketing company, nor is it just another MLM. This is a totally different type of business that is shared from the heart of one person to another, and you can definitely hold your head up high with integrity when you are speaking of NECAN, whether it's the products, the company, the philosophy, you know, any aspect of it. And it's really about helping individuals to discover their true skills and, you know, that they can really be more than maybe what they think they can be if we just help them to discover those gifts and skills that they have within themselves, and to just allow them to be who they are, and to throw those things in with the skills of the team as a whole so that we can all work together to bring about this whole process to the world.
Great. Now, when you brought them, why did we go this direction?
I'm sorry, when I brought them, why did we go where?
Why did we go in the direction of trying to help them see there are four main
major areas that they want to become competent in. And we want to try to provide you with the understanding that we can help you become competent in each of those areas. Why did we go the route we went?
Well, I think you wanted to help them feel more confident in what it was that we are doing or what we expect them to do, and that we're not just throwing them out there as salespeople, that we don't want them to become, as you said, the brain surgeon overnight. We don't want them to go to all their friends and relatives and now tell them that they know everything there is to know about magnetic and far infrared technology and that here we are to sell you these products. I think you just had a great way, as you always do, of helping them to understand that they need to tap into the resources and the experience of the team and let us assist them, and that they can take their time to get to become comfortable in learning about these technologies, but yet at the same time they can also begin to open other people's minds to take a look at this while they're also learning as they go.
Good. Do you have any questions? Mary Jo, just right off the top of your head while I'm still building this out.
Well, just probably not any questions at this point, but I just the first word that came into my mind when you asked Gina that question was that, they can see how reproducible it is and that it is something that they can do and that isn't difficult. And to do those four things, and I've listened to the CD twice that you gave me. I think is it Jeff that did the CD?
Right.
The Attitude one. The way he described the coffee time, I feel like I'm not too far from just being able to do what he did in that coffee time and ask that question. You know, I know the first minute he said he gives a little, he gives a one-minute commercial on what it is, you know, how he came into Neakin, and then maybe a one-minute commercial on the company of Neakin, and then he goes into more products and maybe some of the testimonials, kind of creating a hunger for a hunger in them to maybe experience some of the products themselves. And then he pulls out his little brochure and begins to talk a little bit about the business side of Neakin and pretty concisely, you know. And then when he's done, he's asking him, well, is this something that you really want to learn about a little bit more about, you know? And they either say yes or no. And so it's not so hard, I don't think, doing that kind of coffee. And if they say yes, you know, he hands over a couple CDs, and so they can learn a little bit more at home, and also ask them to come to a wellness preview. But that doesn't sound too hard to me.
Okay, what I'm going to ask you then is, can you recognize in what I'm building right here that process unfolding? If you look at the first part, you understand what I mean by invite?
Uh-huh.
And Jeff talks about that in his CD, right?
The invite over the phone?
And it's a very short invite, right?
Right, just a very short invite, not to say a whole lot. If they start asking questions, he just said, well, you know, have you ever heard of Neakin? And, you know, and I just can't possibly explain in depth over the phone. It just wouldn't do it justice to try to explain it to you over the phone. And I really like the way he, you know, presented that. And so he wants to, he respects Neakin enough, it sounds like, that he's saying, you know, I just don't want to do a fly-by-night thing and not give you the information that you really need to see what this is, because it's so awesome. So
Okay, so then you could see if you're inviting, can you see how they would maybe go to the coffee shop? You do 20 minutes in rapport building, 20 minutes in presentation. And
yeah.
Number three, they would go to the wellness home walkthrough or to a wellness preview, and then they would get what he calls a demo underneath that, which would be their experience of the rollout, right?
Right, and then he would loan them any of the magnetic products that they might want to use, and then
and
give them
finally,
a couple more CDs. Mm-hmm.
In between each one of these might be CDs and DVDs to help them get plugged in and become aware and do all those things. When we get to the fourth step, this is just all general, but can you see how we would do a follow-up meeting? Now, today, with that young couple, we did a follow-up meeting. And so, Gina, which area did we get to during that follow-up meeting?
Which area did we get to?
Yeah, if you look at the chart, we only got to the questions, right?
Yeah, right. I was going to say, we didn't really quite do a follow-up, but...
That's right. So we, at least we're in a process that makes sense. And it means that sometimes if we have half hour, 45 minutes, and we start the follow-up process, and we simply ask the question, which areas are most pressing for you to learn, and we go, well, then let's answer your questions. And we began to start to work validating the products a bit for them, moving them on to the next step. Now, the next time, can you see how we could start right up with any more questions and then go into the perfect day? What would your perfect day be like 3 years from now? And the next one says, here's how we would get that perfect day. What's missing?
Respected your discernment on that, Jerry, because I know you kind of had that rank chart pulled out, and I think you were ready to go that direction, but... You're such a great, you know, you have such a great ability to, you know, read people, and you picked up on that they really just needed to get some questions answered first, so they weren't ready to go that far, so that was perfect.
And the only way we know that is by asking them questions at the beginning. But this
exactly.
gives us a bit of a schematic to work from so that we know that we're generally on track. And then remember... I'm going to, I'll come back to some other people here in just a minute, but I'm just picking the heck out of Mary Jo today. Mary Jo, do you remember when Jeff was saying that if you want to be a platinum, you have three golds, and if you want to have three golds, and everything just becomes silvers put in the right places. Do you remember saying something like that?
Uh-huh.
That's what this little thing we call a spider chart represents, is a platinum needs three golds, and a gold needs three silvers. So that means we just need to become a silver factory. And below that, we say we need 30 ABCs within a calendar month, roughly, to represent somebody going silver. You don't know which ones are going to be. So they make their list of people, and we just go out and we begin to start to do coffee shop ABCs.
Right.
And so does this schematic then look like what Jeff's tape series looks like, sounds like?
Yes.
And this is how we want, as a group, to begin to operate so that if somebody takes you off on a rabbit trail, you know how to come back to where you're working at. And we want
right.
to take you through that very same thing, Mary Jo, you and your family, a full-on, you can see why I call it a level four meeting or a follow-up meeting, so
right.
that you can experience what are those questions that we ask and how does it lay out, and what logic goes through all this, and then we go to work.
Now, did he on his tape, maybe I'm trying to think, did I get to the end of the tape each time I listen, but the follow-up still should be 4 hours? What's that?
Up to 4 hours, you bet.
It's a four-hour follow-up, right?
Yeah, we say if you really want to get this launched and started, then let's schedule some time to get it done. Now, in today's scenario, we didn't have 4 hours. But it made sense that we would do a part of that 4 hours as we could.
Right. And does he go over on that tape that we're talking about, that CD, about the different parts of the follow-up? Because I probably need to keep listening to it.
He didn't in detail, but one of the guys that he works, that he started last year, his name is Dutch, and Dutch has done an amazing job.
in putting his team together based on these concepts. We sat down together, and Dutch filled me in that they sort of go through this process. So by virtue of that, I've kind of taken poetic license to put it all together in a way that we can all begin to work from.
Oh, good. Sounds
great.
Good.
Now, I'm just going to keep going down through the numbers here because I do want to get the Wolfgang because those are a big deal. But Keith, were there any big things that you picked up from some of the weekend events? Keith went to a girls' event, everybody.
Off of mute. Hello.
Yep.
Yes.
Now you are. Yes.
I had an opportunity to go out Saturday morning for a short time for the presentation with Susan Jenske and Jerry White out there today. It was awesome. I want everybody to know that. I learn something every time I have the opportunity to have you in front of me. And it not only builds more knowledge, but confidence, not only in Negan, but myself. And I think this is something everybody has to grow as they move on further into the business, is that we all think we might have something, but when you get in front of new people, I think it's a challenge every time.
Keith, you just signed somebody up today. Way to go.
Well, I run into a stumbling block, but it's just a minor detail. We'll get it straightened out in the morning, but yes.
Okay. So, which area?
I also got a new customer. He's not ready to jump in yet, but we're going to be placing an order tomorrow.
Which areas of this process can you identify with the guy you signed up?
I'm sorry?
To identify the levels of this process you went through with the fellow you signed up.
We had talked to him before, and he's been to a presentation.
Was it a coffee shop or a wellness home or both?
It was one of your meetings at the Fairwood.
Okay, so he went directly from invite to wellness home, or a wellness preview.
Yeah.
Okay, now I wanted everybody to see that that's feasible. Now, there was a time lag between 3 and 4, and that's something we're working on is urgency. But now you can see that if you really just sit down, ask them questions, ask them what they want, we have a little bit of marching orders on how to get through this. And any other comments, Keith?
Well, this guy was really hurting. He has a back issue, and he knows that he has a couple alternatives. One is surgery and more medication. And I could tell this is something that he doesn't want. And that's where we find him. Well, I can't say find me because he's been aware of the products and he's tried them and he knows how important it is to get on to them right away. I don't think anybody wants to go through a surgery process.
Especially
now, what kind of products? Because I have someone that I talked to last night with a back issue.
He has a possibility of a couple of vertebrae to be fused. I think that's a big no-no in anybody's body. But with the back brace, the flex, the mattress,
okay.
And anything that would, even in his day-to-day, the seat cushion for when he's driving or sitting on his office chair.
Okay.
So I think there's several things there that's going to give him the relief he wants.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, now the other thing I would tell everybody, whenever you deal with somebody who's got some kind of a problem like that, go to your resource CD, run off the pages that are pertinent to that, let them read all that information. They'll come back to you and start requesting products from you would never have thought to recommend to them.
Right, okay.
You're doing a service that worked out really easily. Okay, Teresa, Mike, any other points before we get into Wolfgang?
Biggest thing with Max, water is the catalyst of everything, making anything work.
That's a good point, and I want to point out to many of you, if you're dealing with pain issues, one of the great famous people, a doctor that was in Yucan and unfortunately died of a blood clot a couple years ago, told us that it was his perception that without a lot of antioxidants on board, your magnetic fields have nothing to work with. So his contention was always, load them up heavy on water and antioxidants, and then when you hit them with the magnets, you'll have a much better result. And just from a practical standpoint, sometimes if you can put heat, there used to be a thing called the Nikan Intensive Back Therapy Kit, and it had little pockets that you could put a heat bag in, and then put your back flex on the outside of it. So in not having that now, what we recommend is that you might take a washcloth, put it in a baggie, let the air out, heat it up a little bit in the microwave, so it's or rice or something like that, something that they have the heat. It's not too thick. Then place that in a towel or some kind of a thing that so it's not blistering hot when you put it on, maybe a t-shirt or something, and then put your back flex over the outside of it. When you're trying to make an impression on somebody in a very short period of time, overnight, something like that, and they have a back problem, it seems that heat plus the magnetic field has a better chance of giving them that first impression. If you don't have the option to do that, just go with the back flex and the and biaxial rotation and the kinkle wave. All right, so let's go on. We just we need to jump here. And so, Steve, I just want to ask, because you were on the call with Terry's people, when they were talking about the use of this system called the InTouch system, do you remember the statistics that Bill was telling us about in terms of someone he was contacting?
I don't. I'm sorry.
Do you remember the discussion at all?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay, let me see if we can kind of match up our thought processes here. Scott Bill had sent out through the InTouch Media Center, available through NECAN, a 8-minute e-card. So you just open up your email and it plays. And I'm trying to figure out why this, okay, why it wasn't showing up. And here we go. And one of the things he said was that he was able to send out the card. That's the tracker. That's what I want to look for. And for Lily, I apologize if this is going to be slow, but we'll see what happens getting across the border there. It's an email campaign tracker. Many of you can probably read that on my computer right now. And I'm going to give you an example of what this is NECAN for you, is the name or the subject that we were covering in the email, that our e-card that I sent out. Are all those words sort of making sense to people right now? I sent a card to somebody in an email format. They clicked on it, and they watched the video. The video is 8 minutes long. Now, in this, if I go over to the plus here, you'll notice that when I sent it to thomas04@hotmail.com, this afternoon at 3:50 p.m., it tells me that we had a viewer on that, and I can call him back knowing that he's already viewed it.
We're not seeing you, Jerry.
Okay.
We're still seeing the clipboard.
Thank you for that. You guys, let me know that, Steve, you get a happy face on your paper for that. So I'm going to go ahead and open back up my... That's not it. You know, I want to close that out then. Just get down to something left so I can figure out where I am here.
It's the clipboard that's got the ABCs on it.
All right, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to this.
Now we see movement. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, I have it.
Now it says email campaign tracker, and I'm going to minimize this again. And then I go there and I say, I want to check out, is this for you? And then I pop on that, and it was to thomas04@hotmail.com. You notice that we got one view out of that.
Now let's look at the next one that I sent out, which was to Matt at exitofspokane.com. You notice he didn't receive it, so now it tells me I need to get back to Matt. Because if he didn't receive it, he didn't review it. Or if he didn't review it, that may be the result there. Oh, poo, I got to go back. What I did there was I clicked on something that's probably going to give me the e-card I actually sent. And I sent this to Jody and Coeur d'Alene. I was able to stick a little note of my own on here. It automatically put my information at the bottom. And then this clicking right there would allow Jeff to watch that video. That's what it looks like. So let's see if Jeff took a look at it. And here, Jeff did not look at it. But I'm going to show you one that's real interesting here. I'll close these down so it doesn't get too confusing. Here's one where I went and sent this out to Heather at 1961. Here's an
hey, Jerry.
Yes, uh-huh.
Didn't you say that she had only viewed that three times?
Yes.
So she's been watching it again, huh?
Yes. Now, Eric, would you give a little perspective on this and tell me why this is an interesting result?
Well, Heather was a gal that's retired Navy who I met a couple weeks back. We didn't do any ABCs. We just, Jerry and I gave her a three-way on the phone and talked to her about some technologies, and she's in the medical field. Jerry used to be there and kind of still is, you know, and so they hit it off and got her email and said we would just like to send you something else through an email. Apparently, she received it and, as everyone can see, has viewed it several times and even forwarded it to some, and makes for a real excellent way to get out and touch somebody, because if you think they might be interested with this system Jerry's got pulled up, you can pretty much tell she's obviously trying to get feedback from her peers or family because she forwarded it out, and we're still working with her.
What was interesting was her response when we called her back. Now, if she had not had this information calling her back, we would have made the assumption that she, as my granddad used to say, not no, but hell no, right?
Yep.
That she has no interest at all, whatever, in network marketing. But when we see she's reviewed it 10 times and forwarded twice, maybe that indicates that it's just an objection and not an absolute no. Isn't that an interesting result?
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Now, this fellow that was on the last call said that he's got one now that's been forwarded 42 times.
Oh.
From a prospect to other people. So I just wanted to let you know that this budding new concept in some cases really seems to be working well.
Well, that's the power of leverage.
It is. Okay, now I'm going to go back to our main screen here, and I want to take a moment to ask and just kind of delve into Dave and Rhonda, were you able to open up and listen to some Wolfgang?
Yeah, we've got it, and we've listened to the first two, and I had the opportunity to listen to 2A and B.
Okay, great, perfect. Eric, have you listened to any Wolfgang?
I downloaded them and burned them to CDs, and I have not yet listened to them, no.
But you now have the ability to do that, right? That's very interesting that you could do that.
Oh, yeah.
And Gina, you haven't had a chance to listen to any yet because of the technical difficulties, right?
No, but my husband sure did. I think he's got about, I don't know how many pages of notes here, because since I couldn't be there, I gave him the homework assignment, and he did really well.
Ha ha. Yeah, he said in his email to me, oh, man, this is good stuff. Keith, did you get a chance to listen to any of the Wolfgang stuff?
Yes, I did the first two CDs, and
I was really impressed in the very beginning from the two lead-in speakers, and then when Wolfgang got on, and what was really impressive is, you know, a lot of us get a little exasperated sometimes when we don't get the response back that we expect, or when we do interviews or presentations or even talk to people. They're signs that they're too busy, and we keep moving on. Well, Wolfgang had definitely some real, real challenges when he was trying for well over a year to trying to find somebody that he can make contact just to get into it. And then the challenges he had after he got in and how it's been paying off.
Very good.
You don't look it up.
LaVon, are you completely confused?
Not completely. But I don't know what Wolfgang is.
Okay. And you would not automatically get emails from me, right?
I am not getting emails from you.
Yeah, so you're not in my group, so
nope.
If you want, I can give you a clue on how to get that. Just send me an email at jerrywhite4@comcast.net.
Jerry White, the number 4?
Right.
Okay, at Comcast.
Right. And Lily?
Okay. I listened to this.
Oh, you did?
To the first part, yeah.
Okay, did you listen to the Ed Wiens part, or did you get to part of Wolfgang's story?
I listened to Wolfgang's part.
What was your impression of his story?
Persistence.
What made him stay with it?
Cherokee?
I don't know. He was just, interested in finding this thing, this outfit, and something I had seen told him that he would do it, because he had, at one point, he said, I'll do it. And when he went to this meeting, and when the person in Germany said that it's going very slow, and he said, well, I'll make it work. Although he didn't know anything much about it at all. I was kind of puzzled that way.
Ah, they see. Now, these are the types of things that if all of you can gain a perspective, and we're trying to get our technologies up and running, I call Blue Ribbon Video, and they had not sent me my discs because I wanted discs as well, because I knew that our crew here, you guys are out working hard. You're out there pounding the ground in Nican, and you're really going after it. But also what we know is that type of people that make it big are those who make things happen. And the crew that we've got here may or may not have gotten that information. What I'm trying to do between now and May 18th, when we have our quarterly event, start this call up on a very organized fashion, is I'm trying to work with people like Steve and like Rick Moran and even Mike and Teresa on getting our internet side of it, so that I want our brand new people to do as little as possible to get up and running with as little cost as possible that is feasible for us to do. And with that, I'm putting in, Steve, how long did it take you to upload those? You and Russell.
Russell and I spent maybe 2 hours that night, and he probably spent another couple hours the next morning, at a minimum, for him.
I would say minimum, and Gene, I think Rick was saying that he spent up to 9 hours putting those together.
Yeah, that's right.
And so here's the point. We're starting to go to work for your team hard, and these guys are putting in some time. What I ask of you is if you can, let's make certain that we have a common point about which to discuss. And Lily's really opening some really cool doors here. I'm going to check with Mike and Teresa. Did you get a chance to listen to anything about Wolfgang's story?
Yeah, I listened to it, but in downloading, it would only let me take it to a file, but it won't let me copy it to a CD because there's a missing file of something that's supposed to accompany it.
Okay. And that's a technical thing that we're going to have to work out on our technical side. But you did listen to it, right?
Yeah. How do you find lay-down guys like that?
That is part of the reason why we're listening to these. We're going to look inside of his mind. We're going to look inside of his method. We're going to dissect that mind and method and see what we can come up with and use that useful information, because he was by far the most organized, most powerful person to come out of Neekin. So that's why we're doing this. Teresa, did you get a chance to listen to any of that?
No, she didn't. She's on the phone doing what she does best.
Okay, great. And then Lily, you've got that going, Mike, Teresa. Steve, you've listened to Wolfgang before, and we went through the first couple of... What strikes you about Wolfgang's story?
His persistence. I really feel he was divinely guided, you know, to be able to just, you know, he knew that he had something, he knew he wanted it, he was very patient, persistent, it was always on his mind, but he didn't rush, and then when it was time, he just devoured it, realized that and he had the ability that he could literally devote himself, you know, divesting his businesses within 6 months, doing Neekin full time, even though he was relatively new with the business. He just knew it was so big that just like Dave Johnson, just like Dennis Williams, he was all over it.
Interesting. Dave Ronda, any thoughts about Wolfgang's story?
He knew exactly what he wanted, and so he kind of sacrificed going after titles versus making income and building a team.
Marion, what about you?
I love the way he knew what he wanted and freely shared that with other people and gave them the option of referring him to someone else or joining the team. He made it known that it was something they were going to do together, all for one, one for all. He wasn't afraid of the word money. He knows that what he wanted, he needed money for. And I guess that's just the tip of the iceberg. I think he's great.
Oh, yeah, and we're still, what's kind of good is that we can break this up into little segments, because we are talking about his, why was he persistent? What is it, Eric, did you get a feel for why he might be persistent and spend a year looking for Neekin and he couldn't find it? Why did he stay at it?
I hadn't had the opportunity to listen to those hits.
I just
got the CD.
Hey, Jerry.
One thing I'd like to say, Jerry, is he looked at this right from the beginning. Well, first he had the product need, but very shortly he saw it as a business opportunity. He looked, he knew the company was fantastic. He looked at how am I going to distribute this product. So he was doing that as a business, and he set up his plan of how his business was going to look, how it was going to be organized, and had it so clear in his mind that he could share it with others.
And I think the thing that's so interesting about his, as you talk about him putting together, he built the team that was so cohesive that it wasn't his, it was his vision to start with, but it became the team's vision and the team's desire to for every one of them to succeed. And they decided who was going to go first, who was going to go second. It wasn't him deciding, it was them and their performance.
How many of you would like to have been the guy standing up against the wall
trying to stay awake in Milton Keynes, England, when Wolfgang walked up in this instance and said, I need a sponsor. I think that's a dream of every one of us, to find somebody like him. But what he laid out there, though, is these type, his five different types of people. So we all know that no matter how many people we talk and present Nikon business to, not everybody's going to be who you want or what they want. You've got to determine right off that you just continue going on. You're going to have a lot of disappointments, but a lot of challenges. But like him, he was committed because he knew what he wanted. He had found something that took care of his pain issues and potential income and a career, you might say. So it was just a matter of time finding the right people.
You know what his sponsor is in Nikon at this point? Has he?
No, Royal Diamond. He's a Royal Diamond. He used to live in Seattle for a couple of years, and now he's down in Igor Grundel, and he's not very old, and he lives down in Florida now. He loved it in Seattle, but his wife didn't like the rain, so they live in Florida, and he hates it.
Where they have forest fires now.
Yeah, but one of the things that I think is very interesting, too, is the fact that he had the product experience. He knew where he could get the product, but because the person treated him as a 2 when he was a 5, he didn't chase that person. He looked for somebody that could make it happen with him.
Very interesting. Now, does anybody know, if you were a talent scout, and your expertise were in singing, and you see somebody like this lady on British American Idol thingy, Susan Boyle, out there in the woods, 47 years old, looks like a spinster, all of a sudden opens her mouth and knocks the world apart. How many people would imagine that you almost dream about that as you walk through your life, right?
How many people walk by here not even giving her any thought that she was as great as she is?
Yeah, but if you were a talent scout and you knew music and you heard that and you just knew that you knew that you knew that you knew, can you imagine that that was, is kind of what Wolfgang was? Because Wolfgang spent his entire professional career as an attorney and real estate investor and in buying and selling companies. Does that answer a few questions as to why this was so obvious to him?
Well, Wolfgang was really good at reading people, and he knew the difference between prospects and suspects.
Well, that's very true in terms of after he got started. But why did he turn to his wife after she was really cranky and they drove all the way up to this meeting and it got canceled a couple of times, and then he went there and it was a bunch of Spanish-speaking people in the north of Germany trying to do a presentation and didn't do a very good job. And she's thinking, what on earth are we doing here? And he turns to her and said what?
This is what we're doing.
This is our future.
Man, I got some people I wish that they would turn to their wives and say that.
Why Wolfgang? Why was it different? What was it in his life that set that up?
Well, he understood business. He understood the value of, you know, untouched market, a product that works and has validity, and you know, you put those two together, and there's not a lot of other competition distributing those products there. That's a winning proposition any way you slice it.
Do you think he authoritatively transferred that view into other people?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, his belief flowed right through to the other folks in his team.
And he was so calm about it. Did you ever notice that someone who has the greatest amount of conviction has to use the least amount of words?
Yeah,
definitely.
I think that goes back. I was
I heard something about in physics now they've proven that the observer observing electrons being fired through two slits can change the pattern just by the focus of attention on that. And I don't think we understand how powerful what he said earlier about, you know, everybody focuses on to have, to do, and to be, but they're always over on the have and the do. And, you know, that part where he said, you know, my business isn't working, I need to do more ABCs. And he said, well, if you're running in the wrong direction, does it help to run faster?
Uh-huh.
Well, the B part is what he's talking about there, because if something isn't working in your business, people don't tend to think, well, what am I doing wrong? They put it off on the business or what they're doing and thinking that there's something wrong with that. But if you're approaching people and your intention is not really for a win-win with them, and you're only thinking about what you're getting out of it, what you're going to put in your pocket, I mean, they see it coming, they can feel it. So it doesn't really, you know, because 70% of what you say is based on your body language and what you project from your personality, your stance, the words you choose, and all of that comes from your original intention on who you are and who you're trying to be and what you're focusing on. And so he said if there was something wrong with your business, go back to the B part and figure out what it is that you're trying, you know, that you are, and that will emanate from within you out to the rest, like you were saying earlier, Jerry, with how he transmitted that value and that belief to these other people. I mean, if we can change electrons, I mean, there's something going on there with that intention part and putting your focus on something that changes, you know, what's going on in the real world.
Okay, great. Oh, man, this is getting stimulating, and we're already over time, so I'm going to have to give you the last couple of little pieces here. How many of you are gaining something different from beginning to listen to Wolfgang than you've ever heard or gained before?
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. Yes.
We are.
Oh, yeah.
You're now discussing and talking about things that don't have to do with whether somebody's got a goiter on their dubisary, right? What did Wolfgang say? Maybe it's later in tapes, but I just want to see because I can't remember. About Mr. Masuda told him, he said, I checked with Mr. Masuda, and he said it was okay to sign up.
Healthy people.
Yep, well, I think it comes later. So you guys are going to enjoy what he says there. How many are intrigued to listen to Wolfgang for the first time or listen to more?
I am.
Yeah. Both. It's my first time for me.
And what I'm doing now is I'm raising you all up to where you can see at a different level so that you can be somebody different that you didn't even know existed. And the reason that I'm doing this, even though it's somebody like Mary Jo, are you doing okay with all this? Or are we shooting over your head in your first month? What I want you to imagine is if you can see and hear the confidence and the belief that somebody who does this for a living has, that what does it do to you? What does it do for you? What is it that he uses then? How are we going to move through this? I would love to have, this is a request that I make in tremendous earnestness. Please make every attempt to go through this next week and listen to the next two. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to the first two, go back and do that. I know that today I called up Blue Ribbon Video and they are sending me a full set of it's called the $100,000 a Month Club from Blue Ribbon, and they held it off because there was something missing in my order and they didn't tell me and it made me crazy. But if you have to and you can't get to the internet and you can't listen to it because it's not fast enough or doesn't work, let's make every effort to get this ironed out, figured out, worked out, and available so that when we're starting our group in May, they have all the tools available. Because the strength of understanding the conversations and moving forward and being on the same page
and doing what Wolfgang's going to explain on the next two sections that you listen to will all make sense in what we have to put together and accomplish. So thank you all. As usual, I need to let those go that need to. If somebody wants to hang on for a little bit more and maybe bang around and look at In Touch and stuff, you're certainly welcome to do that. Hopefully by next week I'll have three or four of the Russian group that are the younger people that speak English and are really starting to move in Sacramento and Minneapolis and the Canadian position that over in the Toronto area. The group is expanding, and we want people like some of those that we've brought on here recently. We want to make a place that's comfortable for them to come, and it has been quite a monumental effort to try to get organized enough so that we've got this very stepwise progression. You all are in the think tank at the moment, and you're allowing me to think out loud, and I appreciate it. So you're dismissed if you want to be. The homework for next week is just simply to go through 3 and 4. We'll get back and talk about those. I guess the other part of the homework is we're all in this to make a living. So let's everybody really push forward with the express goal to put somebody else in the books and get somebody else that wants to join the process of becoming, just like Rick said, being.
Jerry?
Yeah.
Let me just mention one of the things that I played with the recordings after Russell put them up. And instead of having them be 93,000 or 93 megs in size, I've got them down to as little as about 12 megs.
Okay, so then the problem we had when downloading yours first was it just took an interminable amount of time to download it before you could listen.
Right.
Now that's shortened?
Yes, so now it would be shortened to about a fifth of the time. And they still sound great.
Rick, when you put yours up, how many megs did you put in there?
Yeah, mine were at the maximum quality because I didn't know what you wanted to do with them.
And it does sound very good. In fact, it's better than the original tapes, right?
What's that?
It's actually much clearer than the original tapes.
Yeah, I actually did some editing and filters, noise filters and stuff on them to make them sound better.
Okay, now the two you guys I want to introduce you to each other because we can work back and forth on some collaborations here and setting up links and so forth. So what are we technically looking at? If I want to put up, let's say, 12 to 15, they're not going to be anywhere near like this kind of volume because these are 4 90-minute tapes.
Exactly. They're huge. So, yeah.
Well, one of the things I'll mention with the voice stuff, You can have voice sound really great at 20 kilobytes. You don't have to have them at 160.
That's correct, yep.
And so, we're not dealing with music here. So, a lot of conference calls, that I've, played with things in the past and sent them out to, I think maybe I've sent them to you, Jerry, but I'll take a call that, an hour and 20-minute call, and instead of being 12 megs, I'll get it down to 5 or 6 megs so I can put in an email.
What are you using to convert the files to?
Just my WAV editor.
Okay.
So, but
you're cutting pauses out and useless terms and that kind of stuff?
No, that's just taking the raw thing and just compressing it.
Because, like you're saying, music needs a lot more data to be conveyed clearly, and the human voice doesn't because there's not all that background interaction that's going on.
And multiple channels and all that, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't need that high quality.
Yeah.
It's almost like, phone quality will get by, which isn't really that high of a quality signal.
Yeah, see, phone quality is about 7, and that's what I can go down as far to, but
right.
I put everything up in 20. And I don't think anything that I put up sounds bad, and if I record it well.
No, 20 usually does really well. I just wasn't sure I wanted to give it full clarity in case you were going to change it into different formats.
Yeah.
Now, not to be disrespectful, you guys are kind of geeky. And,
sorry.
And
goodbye.
with that, it kind of, I think, makes sense that, heck, yeah, why not do this if we have the capability?
Yeah.
But then I want to turn around and say, is there anybody still on the call who says, that's just not realistic because I'm, you know, my life runs like this and I'm not about to pull anything off the internet or whatever that comes down to. Is there anybody that has a perspective on that? Or is it, are we, and I'm talking about your prospective future downline people.
Well, I think you're going to see that everybody is going to. Computer literacy and usage is just like writing was. You know, if you couldn't write and read, you were at a disadvantage in society. And it's the same way with the computer revolution. Is, you know, it's the next level of literacy that you have to have and master. It's going to be everywhere. It's going to be used continually. Companies are going to be using it for their billing and automating all their systems. You're going to have to plug into it. It's a matter of time, you know. So some people are fighting it right now because it's different and we hate change, but it's the way it's going to be. So, you know, especially people do want, I find that people want to go out to the net. They want to do it at their time when they can get to it, you know, and that might be at 11:30 at night, you know. I mean, or it might be 4 in the morning. So.
Well, I tend to agree with you there, and now it's just a matter of, okay, I think we've pretty much tackled a lot of stuff. Now, it's organizational. It's going to be, I don't know, what do they call them, somebody who puts up the original schematic and then we fill in the gaps. In putting up the original schematic, I started out trying to play with, okay, there's three things that you would do to get oriented to NECAN. Click on this one, come to this deal later. So if we go to my website, that was sort of the intent. But I think there, our next step up here is video. And we can use the InTouch system to do it. We're taking our leaders and inviting somebody when they first come into NECAN, we can use a Dennis Williams orientation or Rick Murphy orientation, somebody within our group, somebody who has yet to be pulled up. But if we all agree on a method and a mechanism, if we all agree on a way to orient somebody, for example, to the Jeff Van Blariken CD, and maybe we walk through, in fact, we could do this, Steve, with recording WebExes, right?
Yep. This one's being recorded
audio
right now.
The video portion as well?
Yep.
So that a brand new person who comes in and they get locked in, I think we've got everything pretty much in place. And the key ingredient is how much are you guys spending for that kind of web space?
I spend about $20 a month and I've got all I need. I run about 4 sites and I'm not even getting the full capabilities of those sites.
So we know now that we can do this in an extremely cost-effective manner. So what I'm proposing here is I've got a couple of pretty defined camps. I've got the internet savvy who are interested in putting the back office together, and then I have the crusaders, and we'll define those as the people who a crusader is defined as somebody who grabs their sword and runs out, fights battle, and forgets to put their pants on. And they turn around and say, hey, this should have been done by somebody because I'm now needing it when I sit down at the table. No advance notice, anything like that, because I are one. And we want to make this simple.